This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his companions, his family, and his followers until the day of judgment. Today, I would like to start by saying I am pleased and happy to be back to the Central Masjid in Arlington in this talk between me and my brothers and sisters. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we say and what we hear. There is no doubt that one of the ultimate goal of the Sharia, one of the main purpose of sending messengers and revealing the books to those prophets and messengers that Allah have sent to humanity, is to guide human being to what is best for them in this dunya, in this worldly life, and hereafter. To teach humanities what will make their life here in this worldly life good, put them in ease, put them in the right path, and guide them to what is beneficial, and to warn people from what is harmful. It is to lay foundations for humanities to help them to establish good society, strong community, and solid families. And Al-Quran was Sunnah, filled with principles and foundations related to how we deal with each other as human, and how we deal with each other as Muslims, and how we deal with each other as family. And this is a very wide, big subject. If I pick in every principle that the Sharia emphasized on and talked about in details, it will be a very long talk. But tonight I just want to talk about one simple principle. أساس واحد من أسس التعامل بين الناس وهو مبدأ التسامح, which is the issue of forgiveness. الشريعة and القرآن and السنة of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم talked so much about this issue, that you will forgive others, that you're willing to forgive, you're willing to let things go, you're willing to excuse others. And it is very interesting the amount of verses in the Quran just talking about this concept. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered this one of the best form of iman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Those who have patience and they can forgive, they are going to forgive. This is عزم الأمور. It means عزائم. It means the highest. It is the strongest. It is the highest level of iman, character, in Surah Al-Anfal. Also, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبَ لِلتَّقْوَى. وَلَا تَنْسَوْا الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you forgive, that much closer to taqwa, that much closer to be a person who deserves that title of taqwa. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Those who are willing to forgive, and those who will forgive others, and they will fix the relationship between them and others after their hardship happened, that their ajr on the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their ajr belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows how much reward, He's the only one who knows how much He will reward you for that. بَلْ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ قال الله تعالى في وصف المؤمنين. Allah, when He described the believers in Ali Imran, He said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِمَنْ. Race fast, march towards a Jannah as big as the heavens and earth. And it was made for al-muttaqeen. Who are al-muttaqeen? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Again, one more time, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that the people who deserve to inherit our paradise, the people who deserve to be as neighbor to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people who deserve to be so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be safe from the hellfire, what their characteristics are? One of it, that they are al-afin an-nas, those who forgive others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to forgive his companions, to forgive the people. He said to him, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah gave a very clear, direct order to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forgive them. Then, this shows you that this subject is not just an A subject or something was mentioned even once or twice. And so many verses in the Quran talking about the importance of forgiveness. And I want you to understand that forgiveness is not one-time event. Forgiveness is an ongoing process. It's not one-time event. You forgive someone, oh, I forgive you once. No, it's an ongoing process. It is something you practice every day. It is something you have to be willing to do with everyone almost that you know. And another fact, before I move forward in my talk today, that forgiveness should be your akhlaq, should be your manner, it should be your attitude with everyone. Not only with your friends. It should be with your friends and also with your enemy. It should be with your relatives and it should be with the people who are strangers that you don't know them. It should be with the Muslims and non-Muslims. It should be with the, basically, the elders and with the young. It should be when you are in a situation or a status of power and when you are in a status of weakness. Because some people, they forgive when they are not powerful. When they basically in a status of weakness and they have no control over, you know, forgive you. Yeah. That's why when he praised this qabila, he said, قُبَيِّلَةٌ لَا يَغْدِرُونَ بِذِمَّةٍ. He said, this qubayla, which it means a little tiny small tribe, they don't, وَلَا يَظْلِمُونَ النَّاسَ حَبَّةَ خَرْدَلِي. They don't abuse others, and they don't take any money from anyone, even if it's just a small amount of money, like a grain or a barley. They will not take it away from you. You know, do you think he's praising them? He was criticizing this tribe. That poetry was said to criticize the tribe. You know why? Because he said, they are so weak that they cannot even abuse others. They are so weak that they cannot steal from others. What prevents them from being unjust or abusing others? Just because they are weak. It's bad, it's messed up, that's right. It's a backwards mentality, but that's the jahiliyyah. عقلية متخلفة, هذه عقلية الجاهلية. Anyway, so we understand these two facts now. One, that forgiveness should be dealt with everyone in every situation that you are in. When you're strong, when you're weak, with the people close to you, people far away from you, people you like, people you don't like, you forgive. That's what Allah ordered you to be. A forgiver. Two, that it is not one-time event. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing, basically, process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us a great lesson in an incident which is, I start with it as to raise the bar. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. His daughter is not only his, it is his daughter, she is his daughter, and she is his mother. Oh. She is his daughter, and she is his mother. She is his daughter, and she is the mother of the believers. Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Not only that, she is the wife of the most beloved one to his heart. He loves the Prophet ﷺ's love beyond your imagination. Beyond your imagination. When his father, an old man, in his late 80s or about 90s, came to the Prophet ﷺ to give him the bay'ah and to become to accept Islam after the conquered of Mecca. When Abu Bakr saying, "Lamma ra'aytu yada abi ta'riq," he is so old that you can see all the veins of his hand, and it was shaking. He's so old, and stretching his hand to shake the Prophet ﷺ's hand and to say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." Finally, he accepted Islam. Finally, he is willing to submit himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Messenger of Allah. Do you know what Abu Bakr's comment on this was? If you have a wife, a brother, a family member you love so much, alhamdulillah, they became Muslim, or they start practicing Islam, what would you say? Wouldn't you be so happy for that? That's it's all about you. But listen to what Abu Bakr said. قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْيَدَ الَّتِي مُدَّتْ إِلَيْكَ يَدَ أَبِي طَالِبْ لِمَا أَعْلَمْ مِنْ حُبِّكَ لِعَمِّكَ وَرَجَائِكَ لِإِسْلَامِهِ. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I wish that this hand was the hand of the old man, not my old man. It's your old man, your uncle Abu Talib. Because I know that will make you even happier. I know that will make you very happy, Ya Rasulullah, if that was your uncle. And I wish that even, not my father, it's your uncle. I don't mind. If that's going to make you happier, I don't mind. La ilaha illa. Do you understand? Hello? Do you understand what that means? This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is his own father. He doesn't mind, even if his father didn't make that move and accepted Islam at that time, if it was the Prophet ﷺ uncle, he will be fine. That's how much he loved the Prophet ﷺ, more than himself, really, and more than anything related to himself. That man, his daughter, which is his daughter, the wife of his best friend and his messenger, the one he loves the most, and the mother of the believers, she was accused, and she is the most pure woman that you can think of, with adultery. And guess who accused her? Somebody related to him, a family member. And that family member lived off the donation of Abu Bakr. He lived off his donation. He gave him money. He supported. And you support him, and he basically end up talking about your own daughter. Talk about his mother. Talk about the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Joining the hypocrites in this talk. Abu Bakr said, "I will not support such person." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah An-Nur, "وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم." قال أبو بكر: "بلى والله أحب أن يغفر الله لي." Abu Bakr, when he heard these verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who Allah blessed them with money, they should not hold back their support. They should not hold back the money from supporting the poor people and their relatives and al-muhajireen. Let them forgive them. Forgive about it. Forgive it. forgive them, and basically move on, in another word. Don't you want Allah to forgive you as well? Then Abu Bakr said, yes, I wish, and I would love that Allah forgive me as well. Not only did he start giving him, he paid him back even whatever was missed from a support, and he went and he gave him that money. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us to boycott one another, forbade us to hate one another. He forbade us to do any form of boycotting or cutting communication with each other. لا تباغضوا لا تحاسدوا لا تدابروا لا تقاطعوا كونوا عباد الله إخوانا ولا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث. And it's not allowed for a Muslim to boycott another Muslim for more than 3 days, reported by Bukhari. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اتق الله واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن, فيما يروى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث رواه الترمذي. It's been reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, deal with people in good manners, in good manners. You should always try to forgive others. قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, من كانت عنده مظلمة لأخيه من عرض أو من شيء فليتحلل منه, جزاك الله خير, اليوم قبل أن لا يكون دينار ولا درهم. If you have done something wrong to your brother or your sister today, ask for their forgiveness before a day will come when there is no money. We don't pay each other by money. We pay each other with good deeds. فَإِذَا كَانَ لَهُ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ أُخِذَ مِنْهُ بِقَدْرِ مَظْلَمَتِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ حَسَنَاتٌ أُخِذَ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ صَاحِبِهِ فَحُمِلَ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, at that time, in the day of judgment, it will be one of two things. Either you will give him from your good deeds, and if you run out, he gives you from his bad deeds. You know what that means? What it means to take away from your good deeds? That means your ranks in Jannah goes lower. That's right. The more I take from your reward, the less you go down. So what means to dump on you his bad deeds? If you go to hellfire, you go deeper. You go lower as well. So it's a very bad situation. It's a very bad situation. So the willing to forgive to your brother today, it's a great character. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, a great scholar, said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَنْبَلَ مِنْ رَجُلٍ مِنْ خُرَسَانٍ. I haven't seen a such man like this man from Khurasan. Khurasan, which is in Iran today. He said, he was sitting in the masjid in Mecca, Al-Ka'bah. And basically, as a traveler coming from a lot of far away, they come always with their money, you know, basically for the trip. So they will be basically a good target for the thief. Thieves, they target those travelers because they always carry with them a lot of money. Are you following, guys? So he said, and that's what happened to this guy. It was somebody came and he was, while he's praying, somebody came and took all his money. All his money. Then he was crying. He was crying. So one of the people in his Hajj group or traveling with him said, are you crying over money, brother? He said, no. I'm crying over that person who took my money. That I can imagine myself now, while I'm in Allah's house, in front of his house, in the Kaaba, that we both in front of Allah in the day of judgment. And when I ask for my money that he took from me, and I know he has no excuse for what he did. And I know on that day it will be taken from his good deeds. And when I just start thinking about that, that made me cry for him. What a poor guy. Put himself in a position that he would regret badly in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment. Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was the great forgiver. And just one example to show you that, You remember in Khaybar when a woman, she put poison on the sheep. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave her. And he refused that anyone will harm this woman. He said, I forgive her. She tried to poison me. Nothing happened to me. I'm forgiving her. I am forgiving her. Before even I go farther into the subject, talking about forgiving others, I must start by saying, we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. And that's a very important point. So many times we beat ourselves so badly that we don't know how to forgive ourselves. And I don't mean by forgiving ourselves to justify for yourself your mistakes. No. But there is a time will come and you have to let it even go about yourself. Because if you keep beating yourself, if you keep blaming yourself, if you keep putting yourself always down, it will be very hard for you to stand up. It will be almost impossible for you to go farther. So you need to learn that to a certain extent that you know what, I'm willing to forgive myself. And I look always at myself with the eye of forgiveness so I can move to the next level. Let's say you committed a sin and you always see yourself that evil sinner creation who is in the dark side. How can you move forward? No. When you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have in your heart yaqeen, certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hearing you, seeing you, and He knows that you are sincere about this, and you move forward and you see yourself over in a positive manner, not in a negative manner. And you can move forward. Maybe you've done a mistake and that mistake led to a terrible things happen. Maybe even a death or a sickness or something. You need to learn at a certain point to say, you know, I need to forgive myself instead of beating her up and start moving forward and see what's next in my life. So I can be strong and I can basically accomplish much in my life. What's the benefit from forgiveness? What do we benefit from this? What would you benefit from being a forgiving person? From being a forgiver? A person who always forgives? How this will benefit you? I'll share with you some points to encourage us to do that much often. One, if you learn how to forgive, you learn how to keep your friends. Those who don't forgive, they have no friends. As Shafi'i said, لا تأخذن بعثرة كل قوم ولكن قل هلم إلى الطريق فإنك إن تأخذ بعثرتهم يقل وتبقى وحدك في الطريق. If you always pick on people and you point out their mistakes and you're not willing to forgive them and you see that person end up by himself in the road. I guarantee you, if you don't know how to forgive your family, your wife, your children, your brothers, your uncles, your parents, your cousins, your colleagues in the work, your friends, your Muslim brothers and your sisters, the masjids, the imam, the community, the administration, whatever you want to call it. If you don't know how to forgive people, you cannot live with people. And part of brotherhood and sisterhood that we come closer to one another and we forgive one another. And to forgive one another. There is no love without forgiveness. It's impossible to imagine love between two couples, between a husband and wife, and they never forgive. We never forgive each other. Two. When you hold resentment towards someone, you are bound to that person or to that negative feeling by emotion link stronger than steel. And nothing can free you and break that link except forgiveness. Imagine if you hate somebody. You're not forgiving him or her or something about that person. If you always, you link yourself to that bad thing, to that bad person that you hate him the most, in a way that it's very hard to get rid of it. It connects you to what you hate. It's actually not a smart thing to do. But if you say, you know what, I forgive it, it immediately will go out of your mind. That's why we say forgiveness, it has its own rewards. And revenge, it has its own punishment. Learn how to forgive and see how you live free. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that there is basically the prisoner actually was you. You were imprisoned to that negative emotion, to that bad habit, or to that person that you don't like. Three, forgiveness, it shows that you're a strong person. It is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. Forgiveness, it's a sign of strength. The weak person never forgive. Believe me. Only strong people forgive. Weak person, they don't forgive because they hold it. That's the only thing they can do. Strong people, they can forgive and they don't care. That's why forgivers, the person who forgives, everybody look up to them. It's an honor. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةً مِنْ مَالٍ. Charity will never decrease your wealth. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. And Allah will only increase your status, elevate you every time you forgive someone. It's an honor, it's a strength. عز, it means قوة. العزيز يعني القوي. It shows a strength on you to forgive. If you want to be a strong person, forgive others. It's also, as I said, it's an honor. It makes you an honorable people. People love to mention those who forgive. It's like a legacy. When you think about the Prophet ﷺ, if you think about the most unforgettable moments in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, what are they? Yeah, let's see. What are the most memorable incidents in the Prophet's time, life? Something, when you talk about his life, it has to come up. Let's see. Hijrah, when he migrated. One, two. See, the second one, the conquering of Mecca. What happened in conquering Mecca? When he gathered all the kuffar and he said, what do you think I'm going to do to you? They said, you are our brothers. And he said, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Every child knows this. Every person enter Islam knows the story. Because it's such a legacy. It's an honor thing to be a forgiving person. Learn how to forgive and see how people will think about you. Will talk about it. It's not about people talking about it. It is because you deserve that. You know, there is an imam, a great scholar, his name is Nawawi. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was praying in the night. And while he's praying, a thief jumped into his house. He couldn't see anything in the house. Nothing in the house. Well, there's nothing in the house to steal. So he found, mashallah, very nice two leather khuf, shoes. That's the only thing valuable he saw in the house. He took them, and he, al-Nawawi finished the salat, he heard that noise. Al-Nawawi is single, he's not married. So he would notice someone in the house. He basically noticed the guy, saw that the Nawawi finished the salat, he started running. And Nawawi basically saw him taking what? The shoes, the khuf, and running too. So Nawawi was like running to behind him. And the thief is like running very fast. So Nawawi was saying, Isbir, hiya hadiyah, qul qabilt. He is telling him, he's telling the thief, wait a second, it's a gift. Say, I take it, I accept. Because in Islam, You cannot give somebody, it will never consider a gift unless you give it and the person accept it. Like if Abu Rami now came and took my watch, and he said, "Khas, I consider this a gift, Sheikh Waleed." No, it's not a gift. Unless I said, "You, I agree, I give it to you." It's like any business transaction, it's a form of transaction. It has to be between two sides, offered, acceptance and offers. Offer and acceptance. Are you following? Okay? So basically that's what it is. So Noah running behind him said, "Don't worry about, I don't want the shoes, but I don't want you to be sinning. I don't want you to come in the day of judgment as a thief for just the shoes. It's not worth it. Just say, Qabil, say, I take it, I accept it, so you can go free." When you read about the life of Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, he was told, "Your horse, somebody steal it outside." He raised his hand. He said, "That's it. He is going to make dua against him." And you know who's Rabi' ibn Khuthaym? Rabi' ibn Khuthaym is a student of Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud used to tell him, "If Rasulullah met you, he would love you so much. If Rasulullah would, يعني, happened to meet you, you will be one of his favorite." This is Rabi' ibn Khuthaym. When you read about his story, one of the things stands out about him is, it's an honor. This incident, when somebody took away his horse, he raised his hand. He said, "Oh, that's it. He's going to make dua on him now." He said, "Oh Allah, Allahumma in kana ghaniyan, faj'alha akhir al-ahd bis-sariqa. Wa in kana faqiran, fa'aghnihi bih, fala yarji' ilayha." Ya Rab, if this man took my horse because he's a poor person and want money badly, make this horse bring so much money for him so he will never steal again. So he will stop. And if he's rich and he's doing this not because of need of money, make this horse will satisfy his desire and he will never look for any other items again to steal. Yani, this is an example of showing you that when you forgive, you just become an honorable person. Number five. One of the benefits of forgiving is to allow you to move on in your life. One day I was telling my daughter, she's a teenager, and it's very important to have a lot of communication with your teens. So I was telling her one day, "You know, daughter, this life is like the bicycle that you used to ride when you were younger. And we're like in the backyard." She said, "How's that?" I said, "This life is like this bicycle. You cannot keep balance unless you keep moving. That's how's life. You never keep balance in life if you stop at one point. You have to keep moving. You have to keep moving to keep balance in life. Don't stuck. Those who are not willing to forgive, they stuck at one point with one person, with one incident, and they stuck here, there. That's why they are out of balance. Let it go and see how life will be very smooth after that, with everyone. Let it go. It's not worth it. One of the biggest benefit of learning how to forgive is to be able to move on fast in your life, with people in your life, and nothing stopping you, nothing bothering you. And that leads me to number six, which is one of the most important benefit of forgiveness, which is it will free you from bad energies, and you will have less negative energy inside you. Do you know the amount of energy that you need to use to hate someone? It is way more than the amount of energy that to see someone say, "Hey, assalamualaikum," and you move on. You have nothing in your heart about him. Why would you poison, toxin your heart, your iman, your brain, your mind with all this negativity? He did this to me. How he come? He did that. How evil this. He did that. I remember he looked at me this way. He meant this. He insulted me. He think all these negativities. What it does, it just makes you so stressful. Full of a bad and negative energy. Clean, ya akhi, cleanse yourself. Enough toxin that we take through coffees and chemical stuff that we drink. You know, one cup of coffee contains more than 100 chemicals. Enough. This is enough toxin that we consume. Why would you bring all this negative energy inside your body? Do you know how many muscles you need to use to make that frowny face? It's over 100 muscles, if I'm not mistaken. Do you know how many muscles you need to smile? It's nice to smile here. Smile. It's very nice. It makes you easy. Make you an ease. And sometimes we think that this life, nothing worth that hate that you fill your heart with it. My brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is number 7, as one of the benefit, مَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظًا وَهُوَ يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يُنْفِذَهُ دَعَاهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ حَتَّى يَتَخَيَّرَ مِنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ أَيُّهَا يَشَاءُ. Those who control their anger, and they will not let it, you have it. Okay, when he said, I let him have it, man. You know, he just, I let him get it. He got it from me last night. If you can control that anger and let things go, let things go. Allah in the day of judgment call you up in front of everyone. In front of everyone. And let you enter Jannah and let you choose from al-hur'in. And if it's a sister, she choose from whatever reward from her house's servant that she would like. أَنَا أُنْبِئُكُمْ بِمَا يَشْرُفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْبُنْيَانِ أو يُشْرِفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْبُنْيَانِ وَيَرْفَعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ قَالُوا نَعَمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ والحديث عند الطبراني من حديث عبادة بن الصامت قال تحلم على من جهل عليك وتعفو عن من ظلمك وتعطي من حرمك وتصل من قطعك. وهذه الجملة تجدها في أكثر كتب العقائد. تجدها في العقيدة الواسطية في الطحاوي. تجدها في أكثر كتب العقائد. This statement is very common even books in theology. To teach Muslims a part of their belief, correct belief, to have a correct manner. That the hadith, which is Tabarani, said that the Prophet ﷺ said, it's been narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, do you want me to tell you what would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, through it, will raise your level and will bless your communities? يَشْرُفُ بِهِ الْبُنْيَانِ. And they said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, to be patient with those who are ignorant, dealing with ignorant with you, and to forgive those who have done wrong to you, and to give those who prevent you before, and to fulfill your duty towards those who are not fulfilling their duties toward you. How can you be a forgiving person? Okay, great. Can we have a practical point that helps us to learn how to forgive? I know, by the way, it's easy to say, I'll forgive. But it's very hard to implement it. Wallahi, it's very... You say, I forgive, but let somebody really hurt you and see how you're willing to forgive or not. One, how can we do that? One, if you want to be a forgiving person, you need to learn not to be a person who pick on others. A forgiver person who's a person who's not a person who's so... who pick on others. There is people watch every single mistakes. Huh? He document every single fault that you make. You know, even in marriage, they said before marriage, keep your eyes wide open. And after marriage, you keep your eyes half shut, half closed. You didn't need to pick on everything and see and notice everything. Let things go. Don't, when you deal with your people, don't analyze every single word, what he means. He looked at me this way, this. He meant this, his hand gesture. Just don't be like that. If you want to learn how to forgive, you let things go. Don't be picky or picking on people. You know, there is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. There were a scholar, his name Hatim al-Asam. You know al-Asam? Hatim al-Asam. It means Hatim, the deaf. You know why he was called al-Asam? Anybody heard this name before? Hatim al-Asam? Hatim al-Asam. Anybody heard this name? Hatim al-Asam. Very famous. There's a lot of study. You know why he was called deaf? They said one time, a woman came to ask him a question. And when she was talking to him, she released gas. And when she released gas, she was so embarrassed. You know? So embarrassed. And then she released gas with sound. So she was so embarrassed in front of the, she imagined the woman coming to ask questions. So he acted like a deaf person. I cannot hear your question. So when she noticed that he is deaf, she didn't feel so embarrassed. He doesn't want to embarrass her that he heard her just did that. So he acted like a deaf person. And after that incident, he was known as Hatim al-Asam. Those who pick on everything and make a comment on everything and analyze every bad things happen in front of them, very hard for them to be forgiven. 2, always remember the reward of forgiveness. Every time you see an incident or something, remember the reward that's waiting for you. Al-Imam Ahmad was in his deathbed, right before his death. A man came to him with a thick clothes, doesn't seem like very fancy clothes or look like a poor person. And he said to his students, move, I want to see Imam Ahmad. He came so close to Imam Ahmad, right hand at his feet. And he said, he put down the hood and he said, Ya Imam, do you remember me? He said, yes, I do. You the one who Al-Mu'tasim hired to hit me. He said, Ya Imam, Wallahi, I used to hit you with the whip, lash your back. If I would hit an elephant with it, I will break the back of the elephant. If I will hit an elephant the same way I used to hit your back, I'll break the elephant's back. But I was asked to do that by the Khalifa. And he said, I'm coming here to you today asking you to forgive me. Then he said to him, I have forgiven you long time ago. And I have prayed for you several times. So Imam Ahmad's son said, Father, how come you do that to somebody did all of this to you? قَالَ يَا بُنَيِّ أَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَشْتَهِي الْيَوْمَ شَيْئًا أَعْظَمْ مِنْ مَغْفِرَةِ اللَّهِ. He said, son, didn't you hear what Allah said? Forgive. Excuse others. Don't you want Allah to forgive you and to excuse you? Today, I don't wish anything better than Allah's forgiveness. So every time you want to learn how to forgive, remember the reward like Imam Ahmad did. He started thinking about the reward of forgiveness. I know you might say, my dad hurts me so much. My mom did a lot of things bad to me. My wife, she hurt me so much. My husband did so much to me. My brothers, they disrespected me. They did this, they did that. My community, I cannot, this is not a friend. Remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. You don't forgive those who are good with you. You know, like this guy, he said, my wife, she is very forgiving, or she's very humble. She always admits her mistake when she is wrong. Okay, she's wrong. There is no يعني فضيلة. If you are wrong, you are wrong. Okay, 3. Learn how to forgive by practicing the supplication of the Prophet ﷺ. اللهم إني عفوت فاعفو. اللهم إني غفرت فاغفر. Oh Allah, I forgive, I excuse, so I ask you to forgive me and to excuse me. This is what the Prophet ﷺ used to supplicate with. Number 4. Learn how to have good faith in others. إحسن الظن. Find excuses for your brothers, for your sisters. Find excuses for them. Always think in a mentality of a person looking for excuses. Not don't have that attitude and mentality that I want to doom you. Like Dawood al-Zahiri, رجل كان يناظره. قال كفرت والحمد لله. فقال داود سبحان الله تحمد الله أني كفرت. Somebody was debating Dawood al-Zahiri and he said, you became kafir, alhamdulillah. I made my point. Then Dawood al-Zahiri, subhanAllah, you are happy and saying alhamdulillah that you proved me kafir. Does that make you feel happy? We should look always not to basically win a debate, but we always look to win the heart. Also number 5. Don't ever condition your forgiveness. Don't ever condition your forgiveness on that this people will forgive you as well. I forgive him as well as long as he forgive me. No, that's not how it works. ليس الواصل بالمكافئ يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. You don't treat people based, if they do good to you, you do good to them. And if they do bad to me, what? I do bad to them? No. The real meaning of forgiveness, to forgive because you do this for the sake of Allah. Not because you want him to forgive you or to change or... No, this is a bless. This is something extra. If it happened, alhamdulillah. But you need to learn how to forgive because you want to be a forgiving person. Because you want to practice that khuluq. Number 6. Forgetting is a blessing from Allah. I know it's very hard to forget, but try to make yourself forget. What I mean by that, don't keep remind yourself of the bad things that this person happened, did to you. If you have a bad memories, bad, don't bring it up every time. Don't talk about it. Don't keep remind you of the bad things. So try to let it go. Alhamdulillah, and Allah give us ni'mah, bestowed upon us, a bounty it called, an-nisyan. Forgetting. That you can forget. If you don't keep reminding yourself. Number 7. If you want to forgive someone, sometimes it's a good idea to open up to that person. Open up. Tell him what hurt your feeling. Tell him why you are hurt by that. Express to him or to her that. Don't keep it only in your heart. Share it. Maybe this will help you to forgive. Number 8. We need to learn how to accept people when they are different from us. A lot of time what prevent us from forgiving others, that we're not willing to accept differences. And we only see it from our perspective. There is a famous debate took place between Abu al-Walid al-Baji. Anybody knows who that person is? Abu al-Walid al-Baji. Where he lived? In Al-Andalus. He debated a person who you should not mess with when it comes to debate. His name Abu Muhammad Ali ibn Hazm al-Andalusi, rahimahullah. I'm showing you how people have a different perspective. Abu al-Walid al-Baji became very famous scholars. He became like respected by the government. Same thing with Hazrat, sitting together in front of the Sultan, the king. So Abu al-Walid al-Baji told Ibn Hazm, definitely my knowledge cannot be compared to yours. Mine is much more valuable than your knowledge. He's messing with the wrong guy. He said, you know why? He said, Ibn Hazm, why? He said, قَالَ لَقَدْ دَرَسْتَ الْعِلْمَ عَلَى مِصْبَاحِ الذَّهَبِ وَكُنْتُ أَقْرَأُ الْعِلْمَ عَلَى مِصْبَاحِ الطَّرِيقِ. You had a lamp, you know the lamp with the light, made of gold in your home. Your daddy and your mommy provided for you. And that's what you used to study in the night. Have a lamp made of gold for you. Me, we have not even a candle in our home. I used to take the books, I used to take my books and my notebook and go outside to the streets and use the light, the public light, to read and to write. Because in Andalus, all the streets were basically lighting up and during the night. The only city that you can see it, you can see light in it in Europe at that time. I used to go to the street to use the lamp in the street. That's why my knowledge is more blessed than yours. Then Ibn Hazm looked to him, he said, just that point that you made proved that my knowledge is much blessed than yours. He said, how? The Sultan said. He said, he learned this knowledge so he can have the gold lamp in his house as he has today. And you learn all this knowledge to put you in a very high status where you have a lamp made of gold in your home like what you have today. Became a rich man and famous and respected judge and so forth. But for me, I had all of this already. The only reason made me seek the knowledge is because I want the knowledge for itself. That's why my knowledge is more blessed than yours. Do you get it? It's interesting debate. And I think both are blessed scholars. But sometimes you see your perspective only and you disregard the other people's perspective. And that what makes you unwilling to forgive. And if you learn how to accept people, to accept different perspectives, you will let things go. Also, you need to know how to swallow your pride. This pride that you have, you need to swallow a little bit. Don't make your ego is the most important thing. Even if it's injured a little bit, let it go. Also, one of the things that it will help you to forgive, which is the last point I have, number 10, what people say or do is about them. It's not about you. You need to learn that, brothers and sisters. So many times we think everything said, everything done, has to do with me. You know, when somebody says something bad, he's only shaming himself. If somebody behaves bad against you, just don't worry. People will not talk about you, talk about how bad manner this person has. You always remember that. Don't be worried too much. Don't take it too personal. And learn to let things, as I said, go. Finally, forgiveness sometimes are confused with the concept of the lack of accountability. I'm not willing to forgive because I want him held accountable for his action or her action. You do this with your kids sometimes. We do this with our spouse sometimes. We do this with our employees sometimes. With our friends sometimes. And this is something else. You can hold somebody accountable for his or her action. Also, while I'm forgiving you. Forgiveness, it doesn't mean that you'll not be accountable for your actions. That's not true. Allah forgives you and still punish you. Had you steal somebody's money, like the woman, she committed zina. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, she is in Jannah, even the punishment applied to her. He drinks alcohol and his back will be lashed. And the Prophet said he loves Allah and his messenger, and Allah and his messenger loved him because of his tawbah. So that doesn't mean you not be held accountable for your action. Two, a lot of people think that forgiveness, it's a sign of weakness. Weak people forgive. No, Habibi. And I said that in my lecture, weak people, they don't forgive. Strong people forgive. Also, so many times we're not willing to forgive people because we think forgiveness are conditioned to change. I only forgive you if you change. No, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness means I forgive your mistake. Well, you did it, you're doing it, it doesn't matter. You change or not, I'm still willing to forgive you. That's the highest level of forgiveness. That's the highest level of forgiveness. So you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the mushrikeen fighting the Prophet ﷺ, committing the shirk, and the Prophet ﷺ face covered with blood, he wiped the blood from his face and looking at it, and he said, Allahumma inni ghafartu li qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, you are my witness. I forgive my people for what they have done to me, because they are ignorant. He didn't condition that to the change. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, it is an important subject, and it is a very important character for the Muslims. It is one of the quality of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yarzuqana wa iyyakum iyyaha. Naj'alna wa iyyakum min al-mutaghafirin, al-mutahabbin, al-muta'awinin ala al-birri wa al-taqwa. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Pure woman that you can think of with adultery. And guess who accused her? Somebody related to him. A family member. And that family member live off the donation of Abu Bakr. He live off his donation. He gave him money. He support him. And you support him, and he basically end up talking about your own daughter. Talk about his mother. Talk about the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Joining the hypocrites in this talk. Abu Bakr said, I will not support such person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah An-Nur, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ قال أبو بكر بلى والله أحب أن يغفر الله لي. Abu Bakr, when he heard these verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who Allah blessed them with money, they should not hold back their support. They should not hold back the money from supporting the poor people and their relatives and al-muhajireen. Let them forgive them. Forgive about it. Forgive it. Forgive them. And basically move on in another word. Don't you want Allah to forgive you as well? Then Abu Bakr said, yes, I wish. And I would love that Allah forgive me as well. Not only did he start giving him, he paid him back even whatever was missed from a support, and he went and he gave him that money. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us to boycott one another, forbade us to hate one another. He forbade us to do any form of boycotting or cutting communication with each other. لا تباغضوا لا تحاسدوا لا تدابروا لا تقاطعوا كونوا عباد الله إخوانا ولا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث. And it's not allowed for a Muslim to boycott another Muslim for more than 3 days, reported by Al-Bukhari. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اتق الله واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن فيما يروى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث رواه الترمذي. It's been reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, deal with people. Deal with people in good manners. In good manners. You should always look to, you should always try to forgive others. قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, من كانت عنده مظلمة لأخيه من عرض أو من شيء فليتحلل منه جزاك الله خير اليوم قبل أن لا يكون دينار ولا درهم. If you have done something wrong to your brother or sister today, ask for their forgiveness before a day will come when there is no money. We don't pay each other by money. We pay each other with good deeds. فَإِذَا كَانَ لَهُ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ أُخِذَ مِنْهُ بِقَدْرِ مَظْلَمَتِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ حَسَنَاتٌ أُخِذَ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ صَاحِبِهِ فَحُمِلَ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, at that time, in the day of judgment, it will be one of two things. Either you will give him from your good deeds, and if you run out, he gives you from his bad deeds. You know what that means? What it means to take away from your good deeds? That means your ranks in Jannah goes lower. That's right. The more I take from your reward, the less you go down. So what it means to dump on you his bad deeds? If you go to hellfire, you go deeper. You go lower as well. So it's a very bad situation. It's a very bad situation. So the willing to forgive to your brother today, it's a great character. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, a great scholar, said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَنْبَلَ مِنْ رَجُلٍ مِنْ خُرَسَانٍ. I haven't seen a such man like this man from Khurasan. Khurasan, which is in Iran today. He said, he was sitting in the masjid in Mecca, Al-Ka'bah. And basically, as a traveler coming from a lot of far away, they come always with their money, you know, basically for the trip. So they will be basically a good target for the thief. Thieves, they target those travelers because they always carry with them a lot of money. Are you following, guys? So he said, and that's what happened to this guy. It was somebody came and he was, while he's praying, somebody came and took all his money. All his money. Then he was crying. He was crying. So one of the people in his Hajj group or traveling with him said, are you crying over money, brother? He said, no. I'm crying over that person who took my money. That I can imagine myself now while I'm in Allah's house, in front of his house, in the Kaaba, that we both in front of Allah in the Day of Judgment. And when I ask for my money that he took from me, and I know he has no excuse for what he did. And I know on that day it will be taken from his good deeds. And when I just start thinking about that, that made me cry for him. What a poor guy. Put himself in a position that he would regret badly in the day of judgment, in the day of judgment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was the great forgiver. And just one example to show you that, you remember in Khaybar when a woman, she put poison on the sheep. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave her. And he refused that anyone will harm this woman. He said, I forgive her. She tried to poison me. Nothing happened to me. I am forgiving her. Before even I go farther into the subject, talking about forgiving others, I must start by saying, we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. And that's a very important point. So many times we beat ourselves so badly that we don't know how to forgive ourselves. And I don't mean by forgiving ourselves to justify for yourself your mistakes. No. But there is a time will come and you have to let it even go about yourself. Because if you keep beating yourself, if you keep blaming yourself, if you keep putting yourself always down, it will be very hard for you to stand up. it will be almost impossible for you to go farther. So you need to learn that to a certain extent that you know what, I'm willing to forgive myself. And I look always at myself with the eye of forgiveness so I can move to the next level. Let's say you committed a sin and you always see yourself that evil sinner creation who is in the dark side. How can you move forward? No. When you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have in your heart yaqeen, certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hearing you, seeing you, and He knows that you are sincere about this, and you move forward and you see yourself over in a positive manner, not in a negative manner. And you can move forward. Maybe you've done a mistake and that mistake led to a terrible things happen. Maybe even a death or a sickness or something. You need to learn at a certain point to say, you know, I need to forgive myself instead of beating her up and start moving forward and see what's next in my life. So I can be strong and I can basically accomplish much in my life. What's the benefit from forgiveness? What do we benefit from this? What would you benefit from being a forgiving person? From being a forgiver? A person who always forgives? How this will benefit you? I'll share with you some points to encourage us to do that much often. One, if you learn how to forgive, you learn how to keep your friends. Those who don't forgive, they have no friends. As the Shafi'i said, لا تأخذن بعثرة كل قوم ولكن قل هلم إلى الطريق فإنك إن تأخذ بعثرتهم يقل وتبقى وحدك في الطريق. If you always pick on people and you point out their mistakes and you're not willing to forgive them and you see that person end up by himself in the road. I guarantee you, if you don't know how to forgive your family, your wife, your children, your brothers, your uncles, your parents, your cousins, your colleagues in the work, your friends, your Muslim brothers and your sisters, the masjids, the imam, the community, the administration, whatever you want to call it. If you don't know how to forgive people, you cannot live with people. And part of brotherhood and sisterhood that we come closer to one another and we forgive one another. And to forgive one another. There is no love without forgiveness. It's impossible to imagine love between two couples, between a husband and wife, and they never forgive, we never forgive each other. Two. When you hold resentment towards someone, you are bound to that person or to that negative feeling by emotion link stronger than steel. And nothing can free you and break that link except forgiveness. Imagine if you hate somebody. You're not forgiving him or her or something about that person. If you link yourself to that bad thing, to that bad person that you hate him the most, in a way that it's very hard to get rid of it. It connects you to what you hate. It's actually not a smart thing to do. But if you say, you know what, I forgive it, it immediately will go out of your mind. That's why we say forgiveness, it has its own rewards. And revenge, it has its own punishment. Learn how to forgive and see how you live free. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that there is basically the prisoner actually was you. You were imprisoned to that negative emotion, to that bad habit or to that person that you don't like. Three. Forgiveness, it shows that you're a strong person. It is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. Forgiveness, it's a sign of strength. The weak person never forgive. Believe me. Only strong people forgive. Weak person, they don't forgive because they hold it. That's the only thing they can do. Strong people, they can forgive and they don't care. That's why forgivers, the person who forgives, everybody look up to them. It's an honor. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma naqasat sadaqah min mal." Charity will never decrease your wealth. "Wama zada Allahu 'abdan." Wallah, "ma zada Allahu 'abdan bi'afwin illa 'izza." And Allah will only increase your status, elevate you every time you forgive someone. It's an honor, it's a strength. Izz, it means quwwa. Al-aziz ya al-qawi. It shows a strength on you to forgive. If you want to be a strong person, forgive others. It's also, as I said, it's an honor. It makes you an honorable people. People love to mention those who forgive. It's like a legacy. When you think about the Prophet ﷺ, if you think about the most unforgettable moments in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, what are they? Yeah, let's see. What are the most memorable incidents in the Prophet's time, life? Something, when you talk about his life, it has to come up. Let's see. Hijrah, when he migrated. One, two. See, the second one, the conquering of Mecca. What happened in conquering Mecca? When he gathered all the kuffar and he said, "What you think I'm going to do to you?" They said, "You are our brothers." And he said, "Idhabu fa antum at-tulaqa." Every child knows this. Every person into Islam knows the story. Because it's such a legacy. It's an honor thing to be a forgiving person. Learn how to forgive and see how people will think about you, will talk about it. It's not about people talking about it. It is because you deserve that. You know, there is an imam, a great scholar, his name is Nawawi. Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was praying in the night. And while he's praying, a thief jumped into his house. He couldn't see anything in the house. Nothing in the house. Well, there's nothing in the house to steal. So he found, mashallah, very nice two leather khuf, shoes. That's the only thing valuable he saw in the house. He took them and he finished the salat, he heard that noise. And now he's single, he's not married. So he would notice someone in the house. He basically noticed the guy, saw that the Nawi finished the salat, he started running. And Nawi basically saw him taking what? The shoes, the khuf, and running too. So Nawi was like running to behind him. And the thief is like running very fast. So Nawi was saying, "Isbir, hiya hadiya, qul qabilt." He is telling him, he's telling the thief, wait a second. It's a gift. Say, I take it, I accept. Because in Islam, you cannot give somebody, it will never consider a gift unless you give it and the person accept it. Like if Abu Rami now came and took my watch, and he said, "Khalas, I consider this a gift, Sheikh Waleed." No, it's not a gift. Unless I said, I agree, I give it to you. It's like any business transaction. It's a form of transaction. It has to be between two sides, approved, offered, acceptance and offered. Offer and acceptance. Are you following? Okay? So basically, that's what it is. So Noah, running behind him, said, "Don't worry about it. I don't want the shoes, but I don't want you to be sinning. I don't want it to come in the day of judgment as a thief for just the shoes. It's not worth it. Just say, Qabil, say, I take it, I accept it, so you can go free." When you read about the life of Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, he was told, "Your horse, somebody steal it outside." He raised his hand. He said, that's it. He is going to make dua against him. And you know who's Rabi' ibn Khuthaym? Rabi' ibn Khuthaym is a student of Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud used to tell him, if Rasulullah met you, he would love you so much. If Rasulullah would, يعني, happened to meet you, you will be one of his favorite. This is Rabi' ibn Khuthaym. When you read about his story, one of the things stands out about him, is, it's an honor. This incident, when somebody took away his horse, he raised his hand. He said, oh, that's it. He's going to make dua on him now. He said, oh Allah, Allahumma in kana ghaniyan, faj'alha akhir al-ahd bis-sariqa. Wa in kana faqiran, fa'aghnihi bih, fala yarji ilayha. Ya Rab, if this man took my horse because he's a poor person and want money badly, make this horse bring so much money for him so he will never steal again. So he will stop. And if he's rich and he's doing this not because of need of money, make this horse will satisfy his desire and he will never look for any other items again to steal. Yani, this is an example of showing you that when you forgive, you just become an honorable person. Number five. One of the benefits of forgiving is to allow you to move on in your life. One day I was telling my daughter, she's a teenager, and it's very important to have a lot of communication with your teens. So I was telling her one day, you know, daughter, this life is like the bicycle that you used to ride when you were younger. And we're like in the backyard. She said, how's that? I said, this life is like this bicycle. You cannot keep balance unless you keep moving. That's how life. You never keep balance in life if you stop at one point. You have to keep moving. You have to keep moving to keep balance in life. Don't stuck. Those who are not willing to forgive, they stuck at one point with one person, with one incident, and they stuck here, there. That's why they are out of balance. Let it go and see how life will be very smooth after that, with everyone. Let it go. It's not worth it. One of the biggest benefit of learning how to forgive is to be able to move on fast in your life, with people in your life, and nothing stopping you, nothing bothering you. And that leads me to number six, which is one of the most important benefit of forgiveness, which is it will free you from bad energies. And you will have less negative energy inside you. Do you know the amount of energy that you need to use to hate someone? It is way more than the amount of energy that to see someone say, hey, assalamualaikum. And you move on. You have nothing in your heart about him. Why would you poison, toxin your heart, your iman, your brain, your mind with all this negativity? He did this to me. How he come, he did that. How evil this. He did that. I remember he looked at me this way. He meant this. He insulted me. He think all these negativities. What it does, it just makes you so stressful. Full of bad and negative energy. Clean, ya akhi, cleanse yourself. Enough toxin that we take through coffees and chemical stuff that we drink. You know, one cup of coffee contain more than 100 chemicals. Enough. This is enough toxin that we consume. Why would you bring all this negative energy inside your body? Do you know how many muscles you need to use to make that frowny face? It's over 100 muscles, if I'm not mistaken. Do you know how many muscles you need to smile? It's nice to smile. Smile. It's very nice. It makes you easy. Make you an ease. And sometimes we think that this life, nothing worth that hate that you fill your heart with it. My brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ said, And this is number 7, as one of the benefit. مَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظًا وَهُوَ يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يُنْفِذَهُ دَعَاهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ حَتَّى يَتَخَيَّرَ مِنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ أَيُّهَا يَشَاءُ. Those who control their anger, and they will not let it, you have it. Okay, when he said, I let him have it, man. You know, he just, I let him get it. He got it from me last night. If you can control that anger and let things go, let things go. Allah in the day of judgment call you up in front of everyone. And let you enter Jannah and let you choose from al-hur'in. And if it's a sister, she choose from whatever reward from her house and servant that she would like. أَنَا أُنْبِئُكُمْ بِمَا يَشْرُفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْبُنْيَانِ أَوْ يُشْرِفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْبُنْيَانِ وَيَرْفَعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ قَالُوا نَعَمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ. والحديث عند الطبراني من حديث عبادة بن الصامت قال تحلم على من جهل عليك وتعفو عن من ظلمك وتعطي من حرمك وتصل من قطعك. وهذه الجملة تجدها في أكثر كتب العقائد, تجدها في العقيدة الواسطية, في الطحاوي, تجدها في أكثر كتب العقائد. This statement is very common even books in theology to teach Muslims a part of their belief, correct belief, to have a correct manner. That the hadith, which is Tabarani, said that the Prophet ﷺ said, it's been narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, do you want me to tell you what would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, through it, will raise your level and will bless your communities? يَشْرُفُ بِهِ الْبُنْيَانِ. And they said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, to be patient with those who are ignorant, dealing with ignorant with you, and to forgive those who have done wrong to you, and to give those who prevent you before, and to fulfill your duty towards those who are not fulfilling their duties toward you. How can you be a forgiving person? Okay, great. Can we have a practical point that help us to learn how to forgive? I know, by the way, it's easy to say, I'll forgive. But it's very hard to implement it. Wallahi, it's very... You say, I forgive, but let somebody really hurt you and see how you're willing to forgive or not. One, how can we do that? One, if you want to be a forgiving person, you need to learn not to be a person who pick on others. A forgiver person who's a person who's not a person who's so... who pick on others. There is people watch every single mistakes. Huh? He document every single fault that you make. You know, even in marriage, they said before marriage, keep your eyes wide open. And after marriage, you keep your eyes half shut, half closed. You need to pick on everything and see and notice everything. Let things go. Don't, when you deal with your people, don't analyze every single word. What he means. He looked at me this way. This. He meant this, his hand gesture. Just don't be like that. If you want to learn how to forgive, you let things go. Don't be picky or picking on people. You know, there is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. There were a scholar, his name Hatim al-Asam. You know al-Asam? Hatim al-Asam. It means Hatim, the deaf. You know why he was called al-Asam? Anybody heard this name before? Hatim al-Asam? Hatim al-Asam. Anybody heard this name? Hatim al-Asam. Very famous. There's a lot of study. You know why he was called deaf? They said one time a woman came to ask him a question. And when she was talking to him, she released gas. And when she released gas, she was so embarrassed. You know? So embarrassed. And that she is God with sound. So she was so embarrassed in front of the she imagined the woman coming to ask questions. So he acted like a deaf person. I cannot hear your question. So when she noticed that he is deaf, she didn't feel so embarrassed. He doesn't want to embarrass her that he heard her just did that. So he acted like a deaf person. And after that incident, he was known as Hatim al-Asam. Those who pick on everything and make a comment on everything and analyze every bad things happen in front of them, very hard for them to be forgiven. Two, always remember the reward of forgiveness. Every time you see an incident or something, remember the reward that's waiting for you. And Imam Ahmad was in his deathbed, right before his death. A man came to him with a thick clothes, doesn't seem like very fancy clothes or look like a poor person. And he said to his students, move, move, I want to see Imam Ahmad. He came so close to Imam Ahmad, right hand at his feet. And he said, he put down the hood and he said, Ya Imam, do you remember me? He said, yes, I do. You the one who Al-Mu'tasim hired to hit me. He said, Ya Imam, Wallahi, I used to hit you with the whip, lash your back. If I would hit an elephant with it, I will break the back of the elephant. If I will hit an elephant the same way I used to hit your back, I'll break the elephant's back. But I was asked to do that by the Khalifa. And he said, I'm coming here to you today asking you to forgive me. Then he said to him, I have forgiven you long time ago. Long time ago. And I have prayed for you several times. So Imam Ahmad's son said, Father, how come you do that to somebody who did all of this to you? قَالَ يَا بُنَيِّ أَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَشْتَهِي الْيَوْمَ شَيْئًا أَعْظَمْ مِنْ مَغْفِرَةِ اللَّهِ. He said, son, didn't you hear what Allah said? Forgive. Excuse others. Don't you want Allah to forgive you and to excuse you? Today, I don't wish anything better than Allah's forgiveness. So every time you want to learn how to forgive, remember the reward like Imam Ahmad did. He started thinking about the reward of forgiveness. I know you might say, my dad hurts me so much. My mom did a lot of things bad to me. My wife, she hurt me so much. My husband did so much to me. My brothers, they disrespected me. They did this, they did that. My community, I cannot, this is not a friend. Remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. You don't forgive those who are good with you. You know, like this guy, he said, my wife, she is very forgiving, or she's very humble. She always admit her mistake when she is wrong. Okay, she's wrong. There is no yani fadila. If you are wrong, you are wrong. Okay, three. Learn how to forgive by practicing the supplication of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahumma inni afawtu fa'afu. Allahumma inni ghafartu faghfir. Oh Allah, I forgive, I excuse, so I ask you to forgive me and to excuse me. This is what the Prophet ﷺ used to supplicate with. Number four, learn how to have good faith in others. Ihsan al-dhan. Find excuses for your brothers, for your sisters. Find excuses for them. Always think in a mentality of a person looking for excuses. Not don't have that attitude and mentality that I want to do me. Like Dawood al-Zahiri, رجل كان يناظره. قال كفرت والحمد لله. فقال داود سبحان الله تحمد الله أني كفرت. Somebody was debating Dawood al-Zahiri and he said, you became kafir, alhamdulillah. I made my point. Then Dawood al-Zahiri, subhanAllah, you are happy and saying, alhamdulillah, that you proved me kafir. Does that make you feel happy? We should look always not to basically win a debate, but we always look to win the heart. Also number five. Don't ever condition your forgiveness. Don't ever condition your forgiveness on that this people will forgive you as well. I forgive him as well as long as he forgive me. No, that's not how it works. ليس الواصل بالمكافئ يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. You don't treat people based, if they do good to you, you do good to them. And if they do bad to me, what? I do bad to them? No. The real meaning of forgiveness, to forgive because you do this for the sake of Allah. Not because you want him to forgive you or to change or... No, this is a bless. This is something extra. If it happened, alhamdulillah. But you need to learn how to forgive because you want to be a forgiving person. Because you want to practice that khuluq. Number six. Forgetting is a blessing from Allah. I know it's very hard to forget. But try to make yourself forget. What I mean by that, don't keep remind yourself of the bad things that this person happened, did to you. If you have a bad memories, bad, don't bring it up every time. Don't talk about it. Don't keep remind you of the bad things. So try to let it go. Alhamdulillah, and Allah give us ni'mah, bestowed upon us a bounty called an-nisyan. Forgetting, that you can forget. If you don't keep reminding yourself. Number seven. If you want to forgive someone, sometimes it's a good idea to open up to that person. Open up. Tell him what hurt you're feeling. Tell him why you are hurt by that. Express to him or to her that. Don't keep it only in your heart. Share it. Maybe this will help you to forgive. Number eight. We need to learn how to accept people when they are different from us. A lot of time what prevent us from forgiving others, that we're not willing to accept differences. And we only see it from our perspective. There is a famous debate took place between Abu al-Walid al-Baji. Anybody knows who that person is? Abu al-Walid al-Baji. Where he lived? In Al-Andalus. He debated a person who you should not mess with when it comes to debate. His name, Abu Muhammad Ali ibn Hazm al-Andalusi, rahimahullah. Abu al-Walid, I'm showing you how people have a different perspectives. Abu al-Walid al-Baji became very famous scholars. He became like respected by the government. Same thing with Hazm, sitting together in front of the Sultan, the king. So Abu al-Walid al-Baji told Ibn Hazm, definitely my knowledge cannot be compared to yours. Mine is much more valuable than your knowledge. He's messing with the wrong guy. He said, you know why? He said, Ibn Hazm, why? He said, قَالْ لَقَدْ دَرَسْتَ الْعِلْمَ عَلَى مِصْبَاحِ الذَّهَبِ وَكُنْتُ أَقْرَأُ الْعِلْمَ عَلَى مِصْبَاحِ الطَّرِيقِ. You had a lamp. You know the lamp with the light? Made of gold in your home, your daddy and your mommy provided for you. And that's what you used to study in the night. Have a lamp made of gold for you. Me, we have not even a candle in our home. I used to take my books and my notebook and go outside to the streets and use the light, the public light, to read and to write. Because in Andalus, all the streets were basically lighten up and during the night. The only city that you can see it, you can see light in it in Europe at that time. I used to go to the street to use the lamp on the street. That's why my knowledge is more blessed than yours. Then Ibn Hazm looked to him, he said, just that point that you made, prove that my knowledge is much blessed than yours. He said, how? The Sultan said, he learned this knowledge so he can have the gold lamp in his house as he has today. Yani you learn all this knowledge to put you in a very high status where you have a lamp made of gold in your home like what you have today. Became a rich man and famous and respected judge and so forth. But for me, I had all of this already. The only reason made me seek the knowledge is because I want the knowledge for itself. That's why my knowledge is more blessed than yours. Do you get it? It's interesting debate. And I think both are blessed scholars. But sometimes you see your perspective only and you disregard the other people's perspective. And that what make you unwilling to forgive. And if you learn how to accept people, to accept different perspectives, you will let things go. Also, you need to know how to swallow your pride. This pride that you have, you need to swallow a little bit. Don't make your ego is the most important thing. Even if it's injured a little bit, let it go. Also, one of the things that it will help you to forgive, which is the last point I have, number 10. What people say or do is about them. It's not about you. You need to learn that, brothers and sisters. So many times we think everything said, everything done, has to do with me. You know, when somebody says something bad, he's only shaming himself. If somebody behaves bad against you, just don't worry. People will not talk about you. Talk about how bad manner this person has. You always remember that. Don't be worried too much. Don't take it too personal. And learn to let things, as I said, go. Finally, forgiveness sometimes are confused with the concept of the lack of accountability. I'm not willing to forgive because I want to hold accountable for his action or her action. You do this with your kids sometimes. We do this with our spouse sometimes. We do this with our employees sometimes. With our friends sometimes. And this is something and there's something else. You can hold somebody accountable for his or her action also while I'm forgiving you. Forgiveness, it doesn't mean that you'll not be accountable for your actions. That's not true. Allah forgives you and still punish you. Had you steal somebody's money, like the woman, she committed zina. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, she is in Jannah, even the punishment applied to her. He drinks alcohol, and his back will be lashed. And the Prophet said, he loves Allah and his messenger, and Allah and his messenger love them. Because of his tawbah. So that doesn't mean you not be held accountable for your action. Two, a lot of people think that forgiveness, it's a sign of weakness. Weak people forgive. No, Habibi. And I said that in my lecture, weak people, they don't forgive. Strong people forgive. Also, so many times we're not willing to forgive people because we think forgiveness are conditioned to change. I only forgive you if you change. No, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness means I forgive your mistake. While you did it, you're doing it, it doesn't matter. You change or not, I'm still willing to forgive you. That's the highest level of forgiveness. That's the highest level of forgiveness. So you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the mushrikeen fighting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, committing the shirk, And the Prophet ﷺ face covered with blood. He wiped the blood from his face and looking at it, and he said, Allahumma inni ghafartu li qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, you are my witness. I forgive my people for what they have done to me because they are ignorant. He didn't condition that to the change. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, it is an important subject, and it is a very important character for the Muslims. It is one of the quality of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yarzuqna wa iyyakum iyyaha. Naj'alna wa iyyakum min al-mutaghafirin, al-mutahabbin, al-muta'awinin ala al-birri wa al-taqwa. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.